All right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Monday, everybody. Today is February 2nd, 2026, and I am still recovering from Friday night. We had news dump after news dump after news dump on Friday, and it was so bad. And you know what? They even sprinkled a little bit of Epstein in there. We shall be donning the tinfoil hat for the duration of the live stream in honor of everything that they tried to hit us with while we weren't paying attention on Friday. And so let's try to go through it because markets are messy this morning. They're off their lows, so it's not like everything is in meltdown, but a lot has happened in the last couple of days. Let's just start with the volatility. Stocks, metals, Bitcoin, everything is volatile. Everything except bonds. The bond market is quiet, which I suppose is good. But gold, precious metals, right back to where we were on Friday. We went as low last night as 4420 in gold, as high as 4900. So, I mean, look, we're still looking at almost $500 intraday swings. It's still early in the morning. Currently sitting around 4700, at least the last I checked. Who knows? Metal prices change pretty fast. Silver, no different. We went as low as 7120 in silver last night, as high as 88. Currently around 81.50, still with these $16, $17 intraday swings. The price at this moment may not be very much changed, but it took a big trip up and a big trip down and right back to where we are. This is still very much a falling knife. We've got new margin requirements just went into effect today. That's another one of those stories after the bludgeoning in precious metals we got on Friday. The biggest single day sell-off in silver history. Me and Bob Coleman from Idaho Armored Vaults were talking about that in a spontaneous live stream on Friday. As soon as we wrapped up that live stream, another margin hike by the CME group got announced. That takes effect first thing this morning. It's a mess in metals. And, you know, look, China in particular, the metals market in China is an absolute CF right now. First of all, we've got this Jiewu Roy, and I'm sure I mispronounced the hell out of that, but we're just going to call it Jiewu Roy. Frozen withdrawals. Investors are losing all their money. They're brawling with the cops. They're being carried out of this gold exchange while all these little commie doozlers hold up these blue curtains so that people can't record people being arrested for just wanting their investment money back. Estimates I've seen range from anywhere from $1.4 billion to $19 billion in losses at this gold exchange. That was just, they just basically were selling metal that didn't exist, it looks like. Then we've got this guy, the Hat, they call him. This is a guy at another exchange. He has fled the country. Apparently, we got $144 million of losses there. He was selling metal that never existed. And look, guys, Chinese leverage is just out of control, and I don't care what the AI chatbot tells us every day about China is taking over the global metals market, and this is my own words and certainly not just a video that was created by a 15-character prompt by some guy who mass-produces AI content. China is taking over the metals market. The China gold and silver market was never real. It's a bigger freaking joke than ours is. And we're seeing this unwind right now. There's this anecdote of this lady in China who got into precious metals trading because her friend told her a thing, and she starts trading futures. Oh, this just in, shocker, she lost all her money. A lot of people got into metal trading who had no business in metal trading, and that all unwound on Friday, and it's continuing this morning. But there are stories of dip buyers in Singapore. Apparently, people are still queuing up for the physical in Asia right now. The point is, expect more volatility in precious metals. Friday wasn't it. Maybe we find a bottom soon. Maybe it's already found its bottom, but the chart is not telling us that. We've also got President Trump has announced a $12 billion critical mineral stockpile. That is a private-public partnership. I hate that phrase, but it involves private industry and a big $10 billion loan from the Ex-Im Bank. So the government is stockpiling precious metal, not precious metals, critical metals. They're stockpiling these metals similar to the way we have the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. This is all about private industry. No mention of gold and silver. And again, I'm sure the chatbot is going to be out there be like, oh, the critical mineral stockpile. The government is trying to buy up all the silver because China, There is no proof that Silver or no evidence that Silver is going to be even involved in this. It looks like it has more to do with things like gallium and neodymium, things that are needed for motors. We've got a big sell-off in Bitcoin over the weekend. We went as low as $74,500. At its peak, this sell-off was 10,000 lower from where we started the weekend at. We're just off those lows now. Now, this is interesting because there's no news driving this Bitcoin sell-off. There was nothing in crypto happened over the last few days that would explain a sudden $10,000 sell-off in Bitcoin. That tells me it's got more to do with liquidity, more to do with volatility elsewhere. Maybe the mayhem in precious metals spreading also to Bitcoin. And that's also a big warning for tech stocks, because sometimes Bitcoin trades like gold in the debasement trade, and sometimes it trades like an AI shitco. And well, fast forward just a couple of hours after Bitcoin's big sell-off, South Korea takes away the sell button. Yep, that happened. Last night, South Korea's KOSPI exchange was down 5.2% to the point where the South Korean regulators initiated the sidecar. I don't know, a sidecar is their nickname for nobody's allowed to sell stocks. It's amazing that that happens when stocks are going down. We don't see anything like that when metals are going down. We don't have cooling issues when metals are going down. We don't have circuit breakers when metals are going down. Oh, stocks are going down? Shut the machines off. Nobody's allowed to lose money in stocks. Apparently, that's how that works. But some of the names like Samsung, SK Hynix, tech stocks were leading that sell-off in South Korea. Again, liquidity issues overseas, liquidity in metals, liquidity in Bitcoin, liquidity in South Korean stocks. And now we've got a lot of stories about the AI bubble this morning as well. Also dumped in the news on Friday was this story about NVIDIA getting up and walking away from their $100 billion investment in OpenAI. And I don't know if you guys remember, it was back in September, right around the time Oracle reported all their remaining performance obligations. The round tripping in the circular accounting became so obscenely bad that even the financial press couldn't pretend that it was just a conspiracy theory by Twitter randos anymore. It was like so up in their face that they had to acknowledge that it was going on. And ever since then, you know, the round tripping thing went from some randos conspiracy theory to, oh yeah, everybody knows this is happening. Yeah, tell me Jack was right all along without telling me Jack was right all along. Anyways, that was always a non-binding letter of intent. It was just a thing they said in front of the press. And apparently, Jensen Huang has issues with the way OpenAI incinerates cash. He was worried about business discipline at OpenAI, as well as competition from the likes of Google and Anthropic. And so NVIDIA, the story broke in the Wall Street Journal on Friday that NVIDIA got up and walked away from the table. And then very quickly, Jensen Huang was in the press over the weekend trying to walk that back, saying, oh, we never said we were going to invest the $100 billion in OpenAI. Yes, you did. We just said we were invited by OpenAI to invest up to $100 billion. And we were so honored to be invited. This happens, all right? The same thing happened when OpenAI CFO Sarah Friar went on TV at that Wall Street Journal event in California and said, we want a bailout from the government. And then a day later, she's like, no, I didn't say we wanted a bailout from the government. Yes, you did. So these bad news stories breaks, the press circles the wagons, they change their tune, they try to walk it back. OpenAI, guys, is on life support here. That I you can see it happening. If NVIDIA, who has been bankrolling the cash furnace at CoreWeave, is worried about business discipline, just imagine what is lurking in the books at OpenAI. And we mentioned Oracle earlier. Oracle is laying off 30,000 people this morning. They're selling pieces of the business off. They're issuing shares. They're raising debt, all to keep burning cash, to keep this stupid bubble alive. The snake eating its tail at Oracle, and the stock is up. Oracle shareholders will buy anything Larry Ellison tells them to. It's like Ron Burgundy's teleprompter over at Oracle. We've got SpaceX is possibly merging with XAI. The very profitable SpaceX will be apparently bailing out Elon Musk's other company, the AI bubble. Again, it's all about just finding more cash, more successful businesses elsewhere to sacrifice at the altar of the AI bubble. And, you know, look, there's a loan meltdown happening in the software space right now. Everybody's worried that software companies are going to go out of business. So the debt is selling at a big discount. You've got the debt market is just being overwhelmed, absolutely overwhelmed with data center garbage that has been issued to the point where everybody in the country, whether you realize it or not, you're invested in this crap. And not only are you invested in this crap in the stocks because your mutual funds and your index funds, where they told you you were diversified, don't worry, you're spreading out your risk. You're actually concentrated in the same seven stocks everybody else is. It's the most crowded AF trade in history. But on top of the stocks, you're also buying the debt right now. And the guy that you just love because he takes you out to dinner once a year isn't telling you that your bonds and your stocks are invested in the same things. And all of it depends on OpenAI surviving. All of it. So that we got that going for us this morning. That's fun. Another big Friday news dump that happened. The Panama Canal is changing hands. Oh, that's interesting. The single most important piece of infrastructure in the freaking world, the Panama Canal. Yeah, the Panama Civil Supreme Court just basically said, China, you can't run it anymore. Do you think just maybe that has something to do with Maduro disappearing in the middle of the night? Or you think maybe we're getting all Monroe up in here with the Panama Canal? You better believe it. Don't make me send Gunny Highway down there again to clean up that canal. Trust me, we'll do it if we have to. So now we've got Maersk is taking it over. That's interesting. Maersk, a Danish company. Is there a deal in the making here? Maybe we're getting a little too tinfoil this morning, but I couldn't help but notice that company is Danish. That's important as well. We had a bank failed on Friday. Again, Friday news dump. Banks always fail on Friday. Did a video about that one. And we had thousands and thousands of Epstein documents got dumped on Friday. We will be naming names. Stick around to the end of the stream for that one. Oh, the things we've seen, and it's only 9:14 in the morning. Guys, why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. For you new guys, hit that subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads because we do this every single day. And oh, that is some good wake-up juice this morning. I need it, guys. We have got a lot to get through. We're going to go pretty fast through these stories because I don't want to run an hour long. S&P 500 down 18 points, 0.26%, well off the lows of the morning. We've been heading higher for the last couple of hours here. The Dow is actually in the positive now, in the green, 27 points higher for the Dow. It's a measly 0.05%, but still, we were deeply negative a couple of hours ago. So some signs of life in stocks this morning. The NASDAQ is off by 128 points, a half a percent lower, well off its lows. It was down more than 300 points a few hours ago. So stocks are trying to stage a little bit of a bounce here. Bitcoin, just absolutely terrible. 77,700 for Bitcoin. We broke below 80,000 over the weekend, and we kept going. We're looking at daily candles right now. You'll see we went as low as about 74,500. Excuse me. Now, that's pretty important. That's 74,400, 74,500. That level's important because that was the bottom after Liberation Day all the way back in April. We are plumbing the depths of the lows we saw in 2025. Zoom out a little bit more, and that was also kind of the top right here after the ETF announcement was made. What was that? Back in 2024, we had that one. Now, I've got a couple of other lines I drew here on this chart, guys. If this 74,500-ish level doesn't hold, the next support level I see below that is about 50,000. It's actually technically 49,000. That would be the low that we saw in August of 2024 when we had the meltdown over worries about the yen carry trade. And that's also the high that we saw back in January of 2024. So look, these are just the support levels. I'm sure the Bitcoin maxis are going to be clutching their pearls. Jack said Bitcoin might go down. Oh, my goodness. Yep, it's winter. It happens every couple of years. So sue me. If this level of support doesn't hold, and I do not expect it to hold, it looks like, guys, we're heading into the 50s, possibly the 40s. Now, an addendum to that, the prior two crypto winters, we saw combined sell-offs from top to bottom of nearly 80%. All right, the last two winters, 2022 and before that, 2018, we sold off 80% from the all-time highs. An 80% decline from Bitcoin's all-time high would take us down almost to $25,000. All I'm saying, guys, and I remarked late last week that the Bitcoin winter had been rather mild up until this point. Me and my big mouth, we sold off $10,000 right after that. We haven't seen the big blowups yet. None of these BS shitcoin treasury companies have failed yet. Tom Lee still has a job pumping Ethereum. All right. All this crap is going to fail at some point, probably this cycle. And so that is most likely what's going to trigger the breakthrough of this support down into lower levels. Be careful, guys. The bottom is a long way off from this winter. And when you see volatility in Bitcoin and there's no news of Bitcoin, that means the volatility is being liquidity driven. And right on cue, we got this one. Sell-off in South Korean stocks prompts brief trading halt. And we're very quick to assure everybody that don't worry, it was brief. We only rigged markets temporarily. Nothing to see here. South Korean stocks slumped on Monday, triggering a brief trading halt as regulators sought to quell volatility. Futures on the benchmark KOSPI 200 index fell by more than 5% during the session, prompting the market operator to temporarily suspend trading. The Korea Exchange activated the so-called sidecar limit designed to curb excessive moves in the stock market at 12:31 p.m. local time. Gee, can we get a sidecar for silver? Just saying. There's a sidebar. Can we get a sidecar? This halted selling orders for a five-minute window, and trading had then resumed. So they took away the sell button for 5 minutes. You were only allowed to buy stocks. They locked everybody in the stock market. The benchmark KOSPI was down 5.9% in afternoon trade, dragged by large-cap tech stocks such as SK Hynix and Samsung Electronics as profit-taking kicked in after recent gains. Big volatility in Bitcoin, big volatility in South Korean tech stocks. Look at the KOSPI. And you know what, guys? I can't help but notice it's a little bit less extreme, but this sure looks like the silver chart, doesn't it? Doesn't that look like just what silver did over the last couple of days? These are daily candles in the KOSPI index, down 5.2% on the day. Big sudden sell-off in tech, and it closed just off the lows of the day. So it looks like that sidecar didn't exactly do its job. We've got the dollar is a little bit stronger this morning. Actually, a lot of bit stronger this morning. 97.54 on the DXY, up another 55 basis points. We have seen the dollar break higher ever since the announcement of Kevin Warsh at the Federal Reserve. I don't really get it. Kevin Warsh used to talk like a hawk back in the day, but he doesn't walk the hawk anymore. Now he talks the dove because Donald Trump wants him to lower rates. And he has indicated he will do so while also criticizing the balance sheet. It's too early to tell what Warsh is going to do once he gets in there. But the dollar is bouncing off those lows of 96.2 last week up to 97.5 today. Now, while everything else is noisy this morning, the bond market is quiet, and I suppose that's good. The 30-year Treasury is at 4.883. That's higher by a point and change. The 10-year is at 4.253, higher by almost 1 point. The 2 years at 3.543, higher by a point and a half. And the 1 month is at 3.693, up just a fraction of a point. So the one place there's not a lot going on is in bonds. Now, commodities are just a mess again. Look at the movement in metals. So right now, spot gold just breaking below 4,700. We're at 4,695. But look at this trading range. We went as high as 4,885 and as low as 4,400. Currently down $167. Off by 3.5%. COMEX gold futures, pretty much the same thing, 47.21. We hit an intraday high of 49.05, an intraday low of 44.24. Still almost $500 intraday swings in gold. The volatility is not done. Silver, same difference here. $81.02 right now for spot silver after hitting a high of 87.95 and a low of 71.40. Freaking $16.50 intraday swings. And at least it's not Friday. I mean, that's the one thing I could say. We're down 371 here, 4.4% lower. Let's see. COMEX silver futures, not much better here. $80.93. Intraday high of 87.97, low 71.20. I would also mention, guys, the big differences here between the gain and the loss, that's because the clocks reset at different times for the London spot price and the COMEX, so don't go by that too much. But right now we've got copper is lower by 2.2% as well. Platinum is actually unchanged here, but don't let that fool you. Look at the intraday volatility in platinum. Yeah, right now it's only down $7 or a third of a percent. But it was as high as 21.78 and as low as 18.82. Platinum is all over the place. Palladium is the same thing, like a $250 intraday swing in palladium. Currently up 1.7%, though. Crude oil taking a dive this morning, off by 4%. Maybe some peace talks in Iran, possibly cooler heads prevailing in Iran. cooler heads, Iran. Yeah, talk about an error doesn't compute. Anyway, 62.47 for March WTI futures, off by $2.73. Guys, let's just take a look at the silver chart here. There's that big red middle finger we got on Friday. And look at this candle we got today here. I mean, the wicks on this candle all over the place. Right now, we're a little bit lower than we closed on Friday. Made new lows down here around $71. Silver's not done with us, guys. We're not done with the whiplash here. This candle is a mess. That candle on Friday was a joke. Let's talk about some of these stories, though, because it appears that the source of the volatility, yeah, it was COMEX and the margin hikes and everything going on there and over-leveraged longs here in the States. But in China, they just went nuts, and it's all coming apart in China. And just, I got to warn you guys, there's all these AI videos going on out there about how China is seizing control of all the gold and silver, and it's this big currency war, and the dollar is doomed, and China's got all the metal. China is not a serious metals market. Understand that. China is like the intramural B-League basketball of gold and silver markets. Don't take it seriously because these are not serious people. China gold protests expose darker side of scorching metals rally. Protests outside the premises of a small gold retailer and trader have laid bare the extent of disruption caused by speculative buying across China that is powering record-breaking metals rallies. Unprecedented inflows to China's bullion-backed ETFs reveal an insatiable appetite for gold, a frenzy that has also propelled global prices for silver and copper to all-time highs. But when hundreds of customers arrived at premises in the country's biggest bullion hub to ask for their money and metal, chaotic scenes ensued. Some who had bought gold at Zhe Wu Rui's popular online platform were startled by the Shenzhen-based company's apparent inability to release their funds in full. They flew in from other parts of China, some carrying their children. At least a handful scuffled with police, according to video supplied by one participant. The platform is one of hundreds of small and medium-sized investment vehicles across China that use social media to entice retail investors to participate in gold's bull run with the promise of quick profits. The backdrop is a surge in precious metals price that has seen returns dwarf those from investments in equities or even cryptocurrencies. This blow up is the largest I've ever seen, said Huang Jian, a Shenzhen-based lawyer who specializes in investment disputes related to gold. Several such platforms have encountered similar issues in recent months, with total potential losses running at 10 billion yuan or $1.4 billion or more, said Huang, who has personally handled some of these cases. So people bought gold at this gold market. They made a whole bunch of money, and then they went to sell, or they went to close their positions and get cash, or they went to get their metals and oops, sorry, it's gone. It was never there. It was never real. It was fake. And that's not the only story. You got this one. Metals traders lose at least $144 million as HAT flees China. All right, the HAT. Chinese metals traders have racked up losses totaling at least 1 billion yuan or $144 million after one of their counterparties fled the country, leaving deals unfinished, alarming top regulators worried about hidden financial risks, according to people familiar with the matter. At the heart of the crisis is a trading network facilitated by Zhu Maohua, a metals dealer nicknamed the HAT, said people, including some who worked with or did business with him and are directly affected by the losses. Public service announcement. Don't buy gold from a guy who calls himself the HAT, but I digress. State-backed SDIC Commodities Company was the highest profile participant, they added, asking not to be named given the sensitivity of the matter. Zhu owed money to the company for shipments of copper and other metals and in turn owed money to its suppliers, the people said. The fallout includes one lawsuit against SDIC Commodities filed for over 200 million yuan in damages and bills that the plaintiff claims have gone unpaid, according to an exchange filing from a company involved. The firm has not publicly responded. Fictitious metal. Zhu, whose given nickname sounds like Hat in Mandarin and who uses the alias as his WeChat moniker, was central to a network that helped the SDIC subsidiary boost sales, according to six people who previously worked with him. It did so, they allege, via irregular deals that skirted government rules, which limit state firms to trading raw materials necessary to their core operations. SDIC Commodities parent runs power plants in China and is involved in President Xi Jinping's Belt and Road Initiative to build out infrastructure across the globe. From his base in Foshan in Guangdong province, Zhu was a middleman operating a number of companies that bought metals from smelters or other traders and then resold the shipments to state-owned enterprises, according to his associates. Part of the deal was a commitment to repurchase the cargoes at a later date. So this was round-tripping revenue. Zhu was able to realize cash almost immediately on trades by selling the invoices from his state-owned enterprise customers. Firms that offered factoring services, including some banks, would buy the invoices at a discount before the deliveries of metal were made. The alleged scheme included metals that were not actually his to sell, while many of the companies involved in the transactions were owned by Zhu himself, according to several people who did business with him. Again, people were buying metal that did not exist. It's not a serious market. And then look at this fact, look at this anecdote here. Rookie traders' rapid 84% wipeout shows depth of China's gold bust. And I said this in the stream with Bob Coleman on Friday. You had a bunch of people who have no idea what the hell they were doing. We're like, oh, okay, I'm going to go trade gold and silver. How hard could it be? And that's why this market ran away with itself. From hedge funds to homemakers, the leverage-loving Chinese traders behind gold's record rally are now nursing big losses after one of the fastest market reversals in years. For Mary Chen, a 42-year-old homemaker in Hangzhou, the foray into precious metals lasted less than a week. With no prior experience in derivatives, Chen opened a futures account last Monday on the advice of friends. The initial results were promising. She gained 60% on her 1 million yuan investment, it's about $144,000, in just 48 hours. But Friday's sharp drop wiped out those gains and triggered a forced liquidation, leaving her with a 750,000 yuan loss, down 84% from the peak. All right, so Susie Homemaker in China hears from a friend that gold is a good investment, starts a futures derivatives account, puts $144,000 in it. What's the worst thing that could happen? She loses 80% of her money. That's why this metals market went crazy. But look, the dip buyers are still out there, guys. Singapore is queuing up to buy the dip in gold despite the rout. Let's just skip right through this one. They are lined up around the corner in Singapore to buy the dip in the metals market. So again, the volatility isn't over. You've got more margin hikes. You've got stories of exchanges going belly up in China. Susie Homemaker losing all of her money, but the Singaporeans are still buying. So just be careful, guys. Be careful. That's all I could tell you. And we've got Trump to launch a $12 billion critical mineral stockpile to blunt reliance on China. I'm sure we'll hear about this one from the chatbot. President Donald Trump is set to launch a strategic critical mineral stockpile with $12 billion in seed money, a bid to insulate manufacturers from supply shocks as the U.S. works to slash its reliance on China rare earths and other metals. Let me just get this out of the way. Yes, silver was added to the critical minerals stockpile or the critical minerals list, not necessarily the stockpile. So silver is considered a critical mineral. We're buying $12 billion of critical minerals. Nowhere in this article does it mention silver anywhere. So somebody is going to be out there claiming the government is buying $12 billion of silver today. Understand, until proven, that is bullshit. The venture dubbed Project Vault is set to marry $1.67 billion in private capital with a $10 billion loan from the U.S. Export-Import Bank to procure and store minerals from automakers, tech firms, and other manufacturers. Details of the initiative, which would represent a first-of-its-kind stockpile for the U.S. private sector, were described by senior administration officials who asked not to be identified. The effort is akin to the nation's existing emergency oil stockpile, but instead of crude, it'll focus on minerals such as gallium and cobalt, used in products such as iPhones, batteries, and jet engines. The stockpile is expected to include both rare earths and critical minerals, as well as other strategically important elements that are subject to volatile prices. Now, that last sentence, strategically important critical minerals with volatile prices, that sounds an awful lot like silver, but they're not mentioning silver yet, all right? Just keep your head screwed on straight. It represents a major commitment to accumulate minerals needed for critical industrial economy, including automotive, aerospace, and energy sectors, and highlights Trump's effort to wean U.S. supply chains from China, the world's dominant producer of critical minerals. The project has participation from more than a dozen companies, including GM, Stellantis, Boeing, Corning, GE Vernova, Alphabet's Google, three commodities trading houses, Hartree Partners, Traxys North America, and Mercuria. They've all signed on to help handle purchases of the raw material to fill the stockpile. The EXIM's board is set to vote later Monday to authorize the record-setting 15-year loan, which is more than double the next largest deal ever executed by the bank. So the government be buying rare earths this morning. All right, now on to the AI bubble. NVIDIA shares down 2% after a report that its OpenAI investment stalled. Here's what's happening. Stocks fell in pre-market trading Monday after reports emerged that the chipmaker's plans to invest $100 billion in OpenAI were stalled. The semiconductor giant shares were down 1.8% as of 6:30 a.m. Eastern. Company insiders said there was uncertainty about a deal between NVIDIA and OpenAI, according to Wall Street. According to the Wall Street Journal on Friday, citing, of course, people familiar with the matter, NVIDIA announced an agreement with OpenAI in September to build at least 10 gigawatts of computing power for OpenAI, as well as an investment of up to $100 billion. However, Huang has said the industry associates late last year that the $100 billion investment was non-binding and not finalized. They also put language to that effect in their last quarterly earnings call. The longtime CEO also criticized a lack of discipline in OpenAI's business strategy and shared concerns about competition from the likes of Alphabet's Google and Anthropic, according to the Wall Street Journal report. Over the weekend, Huang denied any claims. He was unhappy with OpenAI, calling it nonsense, but reiterated that the investment won't be over $100 billion. Guys, I have to disclose that I am short NVIDIA personally, so I'm just going to throw that out there. But I also want to send a shout out to Efficient Market Hype. This one cracked me up yesterday when he posted this image. He says, "They expect one of us in the wreckage, brother." Yes. There's Jensen Huang as Bane. Yep. Sorry. OpenAI, guys, not going to make it. And this whole bubble was built around OpenAI. For now, NVIDIA is down 2.2%. The opening bell just rang $187.04. Again, full disclosure, I am short NVIDIA. And we got more AI bubble news. Oracle, the snake is eating its tail to build data centers. They plan to lay off 20 to 30,000 employees. Oracle expects to raise $45 to $50 billion in 2026 to build additional capacity for its cloud infrastructure. This one in ndtv.com. Oracle, a U.S.-based multinational, is mulling over laying off around 20 to 30,000 employees, which is approximately 10% of its workforce, CIO reported, citing investment bank TD Cowen. What is that, like the fourth or fifth 10,000-plus layoff story we've seen in the last week? These are getting more and more frequent. The plans of workforce reduction are linked to funding the company's ambitious AI data center expansion. The move aims to free up $8 to $10 billion in cash flow, which the company needs to support its $300 billion partnership with OpenAI and other infrastructure projects, TD Cowen said in a research report. The layoffs are part of Oracle's broader strategy to reduce costs and secure funding for its AI ambitions. The company is also exploring selling some of its businesses, including its healthcare software unit Cerner, acquired in 2022 for $28.3 billion. The report noted that these measures, which are not official yet, have coincided with several U.S. banks pulling back from Oracle-linked data center project lending. The bank says no, so they're firing people and issuing shares to get the money to build these data centers. Both equity and debt investors have raised questions regarding Oracle's ability to finance this build-out, the report mentioned, as quoted in the report. Oracle stock is actually up on this news. I find that fascinating. Oracle's shareholders are like, yay, we're being diluted. Yay, our business is selling off pieces of itself and firing its people to burn more money at Sam Altman's altar. But hey, look at what Oracle stock has done since they reported in September. Remember that ridiculous remaining performance obligations number that they quoted, and the stock surges like 30%. It has done nothing but sell off, down more than 50% since that day. And look, the stock is up 2% right now. That is not going to last. Oracle, they better abandon these AI plans or this company will cease to exist if they keep doing this. Meanwhile, Elon Musk is said to be in advanced talks to combine SpaceX and XAI. Now, look, we're getting a little bit long in the tooth here, and I don't want to run too long. I think the title says the whole story here. SpaceX and XAI are going to merge. And by the way, at some point, even if they merge, they're probably going to merge with X Twitter also. I think Elon wants all of his companies to be under the X umbrella. I think that's always been his goal. SpaceX is immensely profitable. XAI is a cash-burning furnace. And so what this really is SpaceX bailing out XAI. And this is right after Tesla bought $2 billion worth of a stake in XAI. So Tesla is already bailing out XAI. By the way, Tesla will probably be rolled into this giant X umbrella also. I don't like to see this. I think SpaceX is an awesome company. Look, I have my criticisms of Elon Musk. He does a lot of things I don't agree with. He does a lot of things I do agree with. But SpaceX is an amazing company. What they have accomplished, they can catch a rocket the size of the freaking Empire State Building in midair and then reuse it and send it into space again. And that rocket cost, the combined spaceship cost less than one engine on the comparable NASA rocket that is not reusable. SpaceX is an amazing company. I don't like to see it being used to support an AI bubble cash furnace, but it's not my money. It's not my company. So it's not up to me. Anyways, that's going on this morning. Meanwhile, the AI boom is triggering a loan meltdown for software companies, according to Credit Weekly. This is interesting. The software space. Now, look, I've been very critical of AI. And I say, like, look, AI adds no benefit. All it does is create slop. There is real concern that AI is displacing companies and displacing workers in the software industry. That's one actual valid application for AI, so much so that nobody wants to buy debt in software companies anymore. Amid broad euphoria in credit markets, one type of debt is facing growing fear. Software companies, larded with debt after leveraged buyout firms viewed their revenue as relatively predictable, have seen their loan prices drop this week. Investors are becoming increasingly worried that advances in AI, including the growing coding capabilities of Anthropic's Claude, will leave many software products and services obsolete. A Cloudera Inc. loan fell by 7 cents on the dollar this week, with loans tied to firms from Dayforce to Rocket Software also declining. Other borrowers, such as European software firm Team Blue, software-focused private equity firm Thoma Bravo's Conga, have struggled to get new debt offerings done at a time when loan sales have broadly been heavy. A storm has hit the loan market, said Scott Macklin, head of U.S. leverage finance at asset manager Obra Capital. The heaviest calendar in months, largely repricing driven, but still overwhelming, has collided with mounting existential questions around software business models as AI reshapes the sector, which is the single largest in loans. Layer on an unusually heavy flow of BWICs, or bids wanted in competition, and you have full-blown loanageddon. All right, loanageddon, that's catchy, very clever. BWICs, that's bids wanted in competition. When a software company is selling debt, or when a firm is selling debt for a software company, they issue one of these BWICs, which is basically a guy goes out on the street and he's like, hey, yo, I've got software company debt for sale over here. It's really great. Who wants to buy some software debt? Anybody, anybody, one time only, come buy your software debt, right? Like a barker on Wall Street. So we're seeing a lot of these. It's a relatively normal thing to see these BWICs, but there is an unusually heavy flow of them, meaning there's a lot more sellers than buyers of software debt. And software is one of the biggest components of the leveraged loan market, accounting for 12% of the credits in the Bloomberg U.S. Leveraged Loan Index. Software debt and collateralized loan obligations, which are bonds backed by portfolios of leveraged loans, has notched the worst total return so far this year versus all sectors, according to data compiled by Nomura. So this is a private credit. This is a bond market risk. And it's one of the effects of AI. The one good thing AI is doing, software generation, is causing problems in the debt market. Meanwhile, the whole debt market is awash in this AI garbage. The $3 trillion AI data center build-out becomes an all-consuming for debt markets. AI already has a big footprint in stocks. Now lending for data centers is becoming a factor in bonds and credit. Watch out, guys. It's all over your 401k, not just in your mutual funds. It's also in your bond ETFs. More than $3 trillion, that's the staggering price tag to build the data centers needed to prepare for the artificial intelligence boom. Not even the world's biggest tech companies, not Amazon, Microsoft, or Meta, are prepared to foot the bill with only their cash. The massive equity investments in private companies such as OpenAI and Anthropic don't come close to this industrial revolution size cost, and government payments and subsidies can ease the burden only so much. So where will the money come from? Debt markets. Which ones? All of them. Last year, AI-related companies and projects tapped debt markets for at least $200 billion, likely a significant undercount as many deals are private. Projections are in the hundreds of billions of dollars for issuance of 2026 alone. The added demand for cash could nudge borrowing costs up across the rest of corporate America. And whether you're an institutional investor or an individual saver, the fixed income side of your portfolio is getting more and more AI heavy. That's important, guys. Whether you're a fixed income investor or, you know, institutional investor, which most of us aren't, or an individual saver, which pretty much all of us are, the fixed income side of our portfolio, meaning the bond side of our 60-40 portfolio, is getting AI garbage piled into it. I have been warning about this for months, and they're finally saying it out loud. At the same time, stock portfolios are bulging with richly valued AI-related stocks, the so-called Mag 7 group of the biggest tech stocks, which includes Apple, Alphabet, NVIDIA, and Tesla, now accounts for about a third of the S&P 500's value. In other words, guys, your whole 401k is all in the same garbage, the stock or the debt surrounded by this data center build-out. And that bubble is about to burst, and may the odds be ever in your favor. That sucks. Meanwhile, the single most important piece of infrastructure in the world is changing hands. Maersk to take over the Panama Canal port operations from Hong Kong firm. All right, there's been a lot of talk about China running the Panama Canal, this Hong Kong firm, CK Hutchison. They were running the ports at both sides of the canal. Okay, they don't control the canal, but they control what goes into it and what comes out of it. That means they control the canal. On Friday, the Panama Supreme Court said, CK Hutchison, your running of the Panama Canal is unconstitutional. Why is it unconstitutional? Probably because the United States grabbed Nicolas Maduro out of his bed in his pajamas and whisked him away to an aircraft carrier, and we don't want that to happen to our country again. See also Manuel Noriega, Heartbreak Ridge was an awesome movie, Gunny Highway, Recon. And now Maersk is taking it over. This is interesting because Maersk is a Danish company. Denmark. Huh, that's interesting. Aren't we currently engaged in this big debate with Denmark about how we want Greenland? And everybody was like, oh my God, Donald Trump is threatening our allies. He's going to invade Greenland. No, he's not. But remember the green herring from a few weeks ago? All of a sudden, a Danish company, to very little fanfare, this was dumped on Friday afternoon, all of a sudden a Danish company is taking over the single most important piece of infrastructure in the world. Did we just trade the Panama Canal for Greenland? Is that what just happened here? Maybe my tinfoil hat is taken over, but it sure as shit looks like we just gave away the Panama Canal, which, by the way, yeah, we built it, but it wasn't exactly ours. But you know what? We're America, so sue me. I wondered, did a deal just get made and we haven't heard about the other side of it yet? Couldn't help but notice that one. Also, guys, I just want to toot my own horn. We also, amid the news dump on Friday, we had a bank fail. The Metropolitan Capital Bank and Trust failed in Chicago. I'll give you the short version, lingering issues from the 2023 banking crisis, private equity, and commercial real estate. If you want to know more, check out that video in my feed. Shameless self-promotion. And last but not least, a list of powerful men named in the Epstein files from Elon Musk to former Prince Andrew. All right, we are going to blow through this one, guys. But you know what? We had a lot of news dumped on Friday. I mean, a lot of news. And in that news was like, oh, yeah, you know, the thing about the raping of kids and the pedophile network. So we're going to go right through this. We're going to name names that were dumped. Prince Andrew, Andrew Mountbatten of Windsor. Yeah, Prince Andrew. We all knew he was on the list. Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York. Whoops. Elon Musk on the list. Uh-oh, that's a thing. Richard Branson. Oh, he seems so nice on the reality show. Richard Branson, too. Donald Trump. We all knew he was on there, right? I mean, you knew that was coming. He was all over the list. Bill Clinton, surprising nobody. Stephen Tisch, the New York Giants co-owner. Casey Wasserman, the president of the 2028 Summer Olympics Committee. Ehud Barak, the former Israeli prime minister. Larry Summers, a former secretary of the Treasury. Howard Slutnick, the current secretary of commerce. Sergey Brin, Google co-founder. Steve Bannon, one of Trump's guys. Miroslav Lajcak, who's that? National Security Advisor to the Slovakian Prime Minister. All right, those are the names that got released, along with accidentally they listed the names of like 45 of the victims as well, which they're not supposed to do. That was buried in the news dump on Friday, guys. None of them are being prosecuted. None of them have lost any power. I think the Slovakian guy, he may have lost his job. Everybody else is still doing their thing. It kind of makes you wonder, guys. A lot happened on Friday. They dropped a lot of news on us. All right, we're going to go through these pretty fast this morning, guys, because I don't want to run too long. Hunt and Cover, thank you so much for supporting the channel. He says, where's Armando? Let's get this party started. Maybe we'll be seeing Armando, but hey, you know what? Everybody gets a day off. Thank you, Hunt and Cover, for being first, for supporting the channel. New Engineering 42 says, keep up the good work, Jack. Well, thank you very much, Mr. GNU. I'm assuming the G is silent. Thank you very much for supporting the channel, for being a Melonhead for 21 months. OG. Matt K says, what's best way to leave the U.S. with shiny, less than $10,000 if SHTF, in a boat without permission, or, I don't know, get yourself a jug of water and carry it across the border? Do not fly with $10,000 of precious metals. The only way to do it legally, actually, is if it's jewelry. And even then, they could probably still get it from you, right? Like, if you want to drill a hole in a gold buffalo and put it on a gold chain, you could be like, it's a necklace. Maybe you'd get it through customs that way. But I don't recommend you fly. That's the one thing I would tell you. Thank you very much, Matt K, for supporting the channel. The Beekeeper One says, where's Bitcoin Bros also buying metals on margin? Look, I mentioned something on a Spaces I did with George Noble yesterday. This isn't a team sport, guys. And I think the Bitcoin Bros are all like, anybody who says anything bad about Bitcoin just doesn't get it. You're an instrument of the banks and all that other stuff. And I'm starting to see some of that silly, like, rah-rah cheerleading drift into the silver space, especially the people who are following this chatbot. This is not a team sport, all right? Take the emotion out of it. I really like silver. I love silver. I own a lot of silver. You could tell this sell-off was coming, all right? And I warned about it while it was happening. I was enjoying watching it go up, but I said over and over again, guys, don't forget to take profits. Guys, don't get hurt. Guys, be careful on leverage. You're going to get wiped out if you lever up here. And every time I said something like that, there would be some silver bull, which I am a silver bull, but some silver bull would make some dumbass comment like, whoa, never sell your silver. This guy doesn't get it. He clearly works for JP Morgan. Yeah, I'm a real JPM guy. Yep, JP Morgan just loves guys who wear tinfoil hats. Let me tell you that. Take the emotion out of it. That's the one thing I would tell you, whether it's Bitcoin or silver. All right, keep your head screwed on straight. Thank you very much, Beekeeper, for supporting the channel. KDM28 says, what about UNG2, even with a new storm? UNG, that is the natural gas ETF. Beware, all right? That is the Widowmaker trade. In my hubris, years ago, I waded into that space, and it did not go well for me. I don't touch that one. There is another storm coming. Natural gas prices are already elevated. There's liquidity issues. We very well could see a big move in natural gas. That being said, the big moves in natural gas, just like silver, always followed by the big moves down in natural gas. Never touch this stuff anymore. I learned my lesson the hard way with that one. Thank you, KDM, for supporting the channel. JSM says, how long until we are run by a shite box? What is a shite box? Is a shite box like a chatbot? Until we are run by one? I don't know. I'm guessing this is in context of metals, or maybe this is in context of AI. All I can tell you, let me just say this, and I'm sorry if I'm a little off topic here, JSM, but what we saw in silver the other day, we're going to see that in tech stocks at some point. And remember that article about how, like, ordinary savers are in this crap on both sides of their portfolio, bonds and stocks. Yeah, you got circuit breakers that might limit it, but what we saw happen in precious metals last week is going to happen in tech stocks, and I think it's going to happen very soon, which is why I am personally short NVIDIA. Be careful, guys. Be careful. Everybody made a fortune. It can go up in smoke like that. You never actually made any money until you sell. Thanks again, JSM, sir. Big Mouth Barry says, I've fallen and I can't get up. We're sending help right away, Miss Fletcher, from the Life Call commercials in the 1980s. Yeah, that one is burned into my memory. I can't tell you where I left my keys, but I can tell you the name of the lady who said, I've fallen and I can't get up. It was Mrs. Fletcher. Thank you very much, Big Mouth Barry. Yeah, silver needs a Life Call. We need that little necklace we can wear. And yep, sure, why not? Thanks, Big Mouth. Appreciate it. Nacho Man, uh-oh, are we doing our AI circular accounting in honor of NVIDIA walking away from the table? It's time to play circular accounting. Here we go, Nacho Man. Appreciate that, brother. And there's Mish, round-tripping the revenue. Welcome to the Melonheads, all you new Melonheads. Appreciate the support of the channel, Nacho Man and Mish. Don't forget to say thank you to Nacho Man in the comments below. John Pistone, W7M, says, what happened to the comics circuit breaker on Friday? Silly rabbit, circuit breakers only work when metals are going up, right? There ain't no circuit breakers on the way down. There ain't no cooling issues on the way down. There's no down for maintenance on the way down in metals. That only happens on our way out, though. Does not happen to the downside, John. You are apt to point that out, or you are correct, wise to point that out. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel for 23 months. Learcy Yanoam says, Empire State Building, 1,250 feet, super heavy booster, 233 feet. All right, perhaps I embellished a little bit, but that's just an unconfirmed accusation. I haven't embellished in 100,000 years. That being said, catching that rocket in midair is a freaking amazing engineering feat. Putting that rocket in space for about 5% of the cost of what NASA cost to do the same thing, that is a very amazing feat. And that's why I don't want to see SpaceX drained to burn more money on stupid chatbots. I think SpaceX is an amazing company. I want to see them keep doing these things, these amazing engineering feats, these awesome things that make a little kid say, wow, I want to be an engineer when I grow up so I can do shit like that, like I used to say when I was a kid. You know, that, like, let's do cool stuff again. Let's build great big things instead of stupid data centers and leering learning centers. That's all we seem to spend our money on these days. Thank you, Learcy, for supporting the channel. Nashville Pasta Man says, Les Wasserman, Universal, most powerful guy in Hollywood. Oh, Lou Wasserman. Was he on the list? Was he on the list that got released over the weekend, I'm assuming? I mean, he's in Hollywood. Would you be surprised? What a den of degenerates that place is. Thank you very much, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Armando Reyes says, oh, there he is. Hey, we found Armando. He says, Mamdani's mom was on the list. Yeah, Mamdani's mom was mentioned on the list. She had attended a party. On that token, be careful. There was a lot of a couple people over the weekend sent me images of Zohran Mamdani with Bill Clinton and Epstein. It was a fake AI-generated image. Yes, Mamdani's mom was on the list, but Zohran Mamdani, that image of him posing as a child with Bill Clinton and Epstein, that was a fake AI-generated image. Which, by the way, how is AI going to unlock a new era in human productivity if nobody knows what's real or not? Because if nobody knows what's real or not, nobody is going to trust anybody. And without trust, there is no productivity. There is no efficiency. So if you ask me, AI is going to be a huge net negative for productivity on society. Call it a hunch. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. Madison Hype says, is there a debt collateralized by GPUs, DeepSeek risk? Yes, there is. Most of CoreWeave's debt is borrowed against rapidly depreciating GPUs. As a matter of fact, that was one of the first things I called out in my original, my very first video about AI, my interview with Samantha LaDuke, all the way back in, like, it was August or September of 2023. We talked about how that $2.3 billion line of credit was collateralized by GPUs. And we're like, these are circuit cards. Circuit cards don't hold their value. That's a rapidly depreciating asset. Absolutely, Madison. I'd say most of the debt actually is collateralized by GPUs, but I'm sure that's just going to work out great for everybody. Oh my God. But you know, it's in our 401ks. It's going to be safe there, right? Oh shit. Hey, how do we say this? Piranha lasagna or piranha lasagna. Thank you, piranha lasagna. The lasagna that bites back. He became a YouTube member. Hey, welcome to the Melonheads Piranha. Appreciate the support of the channel very much. Just a reminder to all you new members, you get a free super chat every month. Use that. I will read and respond to your thoughts, questions, concerns live on the air. Welcome to the Melonheads Piranha. Hey, thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out for you new guys. Thank you so much for the generosity and the super chats, everybody. Really appreciate that, as well as you magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below to all that good stuff, should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.